Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at 1043thefan.com. Presented by Siltahara Motors, the home of the zero down with Chapter 7 and 13 bankruptcies. Regardless of your financial standing, no one should be without a vehicle. Visit the special financing section at sthmotors.com.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
Very good Tuesday morning to you. Nice hot day on tap.
Stay cool, but get out and enjoy it a little bit. Soak up a little vitamin D. Our millennial Ben. We love our millennial Ben.
Sure.
The millennial Ben just is one of those, well, he's a millennial. So anything that, you know, is like on his mind, you know, he has to like share it with us right away. It becomes the most important thing going on.
Yeah.
In our lives, he makes sure it's the most important thing going on in our lives.
Yeah, sure.
He came blasting in here about 15 minutes ago. Can somebody explain to me why everybody talks about Drew Lock's upside? Everybody. It's like the fallback position for Drew Lock. If you want to make your case for Lock, it's all about his upside. What exactly is his upside? I'm like, well, Penny, that's a good question. So I'll ask you, what exactly is Drew Lock's upside? Because you always hear it when it comes to Lock versus Bridgewater. Hey, Bridgewater is the is sort of the veteran. He's he's savvy. Maybe he's not as mistake prone. He might be a little bit more safe with the football. But Lock's got upside. Lock's got potential.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got arm talent.
Well, what
he's
is
got
it?
Athleticism, arm talent, escapability, you know, blah, 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 blah. Sometimes you're escaping where you don't need to escape because you're actually protected and you're actually running yourself into trouble. Having a big arm really, like having a big arm is, it's great. It's a great weapon to have, right? It's a great weapon to have. When you're on time, when you like, hey, you want to throw a deep kind of a dagger concept, big in cutting route at 18 yards. You want to like let a rip, right? Just, I mean, on time and on target. Like that's awesome. That outside the numbers on an out route, you know, or a comeback where you just need to drive the ball. It's great to have. And you're probably really good at it if it's the only thing you're reading. But when it's not the only thing you're reading and you're a little bit late, it really doesn't help you. Anticipation helps you. And as far as the athleticism is concerned, I don't know, like, okay, so if you were running kind of, like, let's say what Miami did early in Ryan Tannehill's career, where you're running the read zone stuff and you're getting Ryan Tannehill on the edge, and you're letting him, you know, choose whether to hand it to the back or whether to run with the football. And then you're setting up some play action stuff off of that. If you're really doing a lot more in the RPO world and the read zone world and saying, hey, this is what we're going to base out of. This is what we're, our identity is going to be. This is how we're going to run the football. That'd be one thing, but not that I know exactly what they do, because every week it seems to change. You know, they're a scheme team. But, like, if you were going to set an identity and say, hey, man, we're going to use the athleticism of Drew Lock, and this is how we're going to run things. But, you know, I think they worry about Drew Lock's health. He's missed time. He's been injured. They don't want to do that. That's not what Pat Shurmur wants to be. It's not what he wants to run. And so, what does it matter, athleticism? And like I said, lastly, when you don't understand protection, when you're not great with protection, and you either get spooked out of the pocket on things that you are protected on, or you don't realize you're not protected, like that Carolina game when they're crushing Carolina, all of a sudden you don't realize the protection, and you give up a strip sack fumble because you don't throw it to the swing pass, you don't throw it to your outlet, you know, your hot read, whatever, right off the bat, and you take a sack, the ball comes out, somebody returns it to the 2-yard line, and all of a sudden the Panthers are back in the game. Like, that's the kind of stuff that what does athleticism matter if you don't understand that aspect of the game?
So if you have a quarterback who can read a defense, knows where to go with the football, and throws with anticipation and precision. Let's say your average quarterback is throwing the ball 35 times during a game. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If he can do all those things that I just mentioned, how many of those 35 throws really comes down to you need above average arm talent?
So let's say in any given game, again, it would go your 35, your 70-30 rule that I always tell you about. 70% of the time, 70% of the time you're on schedule. On schedule throws aren't under duress throws. 30%. So what's 30% of 35?
Like 12.
So 12 throws, it would be 10 to 12 throws. It would be nice to have above arm talent. Like when all of a sudden you have to scramble out, you know, and you got to throw it across your body a little bit, and like that would be beneficial.
Although even some of those off schedule throws are the ones where, you know, you're forced out of the pocket, you're rolling right, nothing's there, and you just do the smart thing and you toss it out of bounds.
Yeah, you toss it out of bounds.
I would say,
or you dump it to an underneath guy.
Right.
Like,
so I would say, even less than 12. I'd say if you have.
But I'm not saying that I'm saying that it would be nice to have on those 12 plays above arm talent, but you don't have to have.
Right. I'd say the times that you really need above average arm talent, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 times.
I would tell you that even less if you know what you are.
Right. Right.
I mean, Drew Brees never had above arm talent.
Right.
Not since he got injured.
Right.
How bad it hurt him. He's completing 74% of his passes at all times.
Exactly.
So
why whenever I hear big arm, got exceptional arm talent.
But it's what I always say. What's the easiest thing for the average fan to see? Athleticism. The average fan doesn't understand the game.
Mm-hmm.
They don't.
So,
and that's not derogatory. It's just the way it is. Like, so you see athleticism. You see, hey, JaVale McGee, if he had basketball talent, would have been the greatest center in the history of the National Football or the National Basketball Association, because he's the most athletic dude ever. Now he can't hit a free throw and he can't make a shot, but athleticism is not an issue.
Coming up, we got Four Down Territory at 7:30. Our Rockies insider, Patrick Saunders, will join us at 7:45. But up next, are we too far down the Aaron Rodgers road not to have it happen? That's next. Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors is the home of zero down. Regardless of your credit or financial situation, Siltahar Motors will help you get behind the wheel. People with poor credit or in bankruptcy can qualify for zero down and no payments for 45 days and be driving in their new car within hours of stopping by the dealership. Check out any of the cars Siltahar Motors currently has on site at sthmotors.com. Siltahar Motors is conveniently located at Highway 36 in Wadsworth, so regardless of your financial situation, Siltahar Motors will get you the car you deserve at sthmotors.com.
Couple of texts.
Mark, you don't know what you're talking about. Brady's deep ball stinks.
Who is? Have you watched Tom Brady? Seriously, have you watched him? Did you watch him throw the deep ball last year? I was actually, I don't know, at games, calling them as Tom Brady was hitting Mike Evans and Tom Brady was hitting Scotty Miller on deep balls right and left. Deep ball doesn't stink. Throws it with timing, with accuracy, and with touch.
Well,
it's ridiculous.
Again, it's nice to be able to throw a deep ball, but you tell me where a quarterback makes his bones these days. And it really is. It really is controlling the middle of the field. It's all the stuff, 10, 15, 20 yards. Very rarely are you just ripping the ball down the field all the time. It's your ability to make plays in the middle of the field. And I see plenty of examples where Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, their anticipation, their mechanics are so pure that they still, I mean, they get rip throws. Rip them. And they look, I'll tell you what, they seem to get there quicker and more catchable than these much ballyhooed younger guys who supposedly have howitzers for arms.
Right. They're on time.
Right.
I mean, when you're on time, you know, when you're on time, your mechanics don't break down because, I mean, you're letting her rip. It doesn't break down. So you're going to spin it tighter. It's going to cut through the air better. Even if you don't have as much, like, when you're on time and you can stay on top of the ball and drive it, your ball will get there faster than the guy who's got the big arm whose mechanics break down and it flutters on him a little bit. It doesn't spin as tight.
Mark, what are you talking about? Shermer has a very distinct style of offense. Crappy.
Well, I get it. And again, it comes down to your philosophical approach to football. What do you believe in? And I'm just a believer in establishing what it is. I don't care what it is you want to do, right? Like, hey, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just won a Super Bowl. They're going to run what they call 22 duo 15, 16 times a game. That's what they hang their hat on. Double team front side between guard and tackle. Double team backside between center guard. Double team by the two tight end formation. Sometimes they'll motion a receiver in there as an insert player to take care of the safety that's rotated down on that side. And that's what they do. And it's a mosh pit run, Mike. That's what it is. But damn it, they got a plan and they're going to run it. You know, back in our day here in Denver under Mike Shanahan, we're running wide zone. The Niners are going to base out a wide zone. They're going to base out of something. They're going to say, this is what our identity is, and we're going to run this. Now, we've got other things. We've got scheme runs week to week that we're going to take advantage of based upon the defense. But the bottom line is you're going to see this half a dozen times a game, a dozen times a game, and you're going to have to defend it, and we're going to set a play action off it.
One more text. So it's against the rules to talk about Locke's upside, but it's easy to bury him with downside and fail to mention Sutton was not there. Would a starting 1,000-yard running back have helped or not? You guys smear Locke more than Paxton Lynch. That's silly. First of all, we do not smear Drew Locke. And even if we did, let's say today was day number one of the Drew Locke smear campaign, it would still be... What is it?
Almost 3,000.
2,000.
200.
200 and...
Let's just call it 2,300.
15 days behind.
Can we just call it 2,300?
No, we can't do 2,300. Hey, we take these numbers seriously.
Are they...
As anybody who has done the math would attest to, we take the numbers very seriously.
Oh, yeah.
We're very precise. By the way, this just in. Paxton, you talk about a quarterback who... supposedly had a big arm, and how many times?
How many times?
Right, we never saw it. How many times did you ask yourself as you were watching as a Bronco fan? This guy's supposed to have a big arm. Why does it seem like the ball just doesn't have anything on it?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're right. He was late. Didn't know where he was going with the ball. Didn't trust where he was going with the ball, and his mechanics were all screwed up.
Yeah.
Never allowed his arm talent to come through.
Never drove the ball. Never stayed on top of the ball. Never, you know. I mean, those are the things you have to be able to do. He wasn't able to do those things. So
thank you, Paxton, for allowing us to use you as an example.
Yeah. I mean, the upside.
He sucks.
You can sit there and talk about, again, upside talent, Mike, for me is athleticism, upside talent. You know, they always talk about talent because talent is easy to evaluate. It's easy to see a guy run a fast 40. It's easy to see a guy with a great vertical jump. It's easy to see a guy that has a big arm, you know, in shorts and a t-shirt, or if they're just throwing on air. But none of that stuff matters when you're actually playing in the games. And that's what, you know, that's what drives me crazy about the evaluators out there. You know, the basement scouts and the armchair quarterbacks out there is like okay, great. He's a great athlete. I really like great football players who happen to be great athletes.
Patrick Saunders coming up in 20 minutes. Up next, it is four down territory. Tell you which of the two Bronco quarterbacks Von Miller seems to be favoring. That's next.
Professional football in America is a special game.
This is four down territory.
I'd like to start out with a thank you to John Elway.
That just happened.
All right, now, I'll kill a snitch. I'm not saying I have. I'm not saying I haven't.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over the mountain?
On Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Gentlemen, this is the real thing. This is what you've been trained for.
First down.
Not really. I think it's too early to come to any conclusions, one way or the other. Even a small conclusion. Mike and Pat will work with him on that stuff, and I'm not worried about it at this point.
All right, so Vic Fangio, as the Broncos get set for mandatory minicamp to start today, says that he has not reached any conclusions when it comes to the starting quarterback. Here's the conclusion I've reached at. We have gone too far down the Aaron Rodgers road for it not to happen. Meaning, if the Packers end up moving on from Aaron Rodgers, I don't care when. In my mind, he has to be here. He has to be here. And because I'm absolutely convinced that Aaron Rodgers will be dealt, he has no more future left with the Packers, then in my mind, it's just a matter of when, not if, he ends up being a Bronco. So, Mark, I have to be honest with you. I'm having a hard time really embracing Bridgewater versus Locke, because in my mind, it's Rodgers or bust.
So you're not, the 50-50 battle does not.
I've got wanderlust.
Yeah.
I got a roving eye. For Aaron Rodgers.
I do too. And I am with you. I mean, it's going to happen. I just find, like, if you just decide as an organization that we're not going to do it and we're going to dig our heels in, that to me becomes really petty, right? And what does it say? What does it say to the guy you draft in the first round in Jordan Love? Hey, we really actually don't believe in you. And oh, by the way, hey, we're going to stink this year, guys. And let's hold out and trade Aaron Rodgers next year and go get a different quarterback. Like you made your bed. You're going to have to lay in it. Move him. Get over it. You guys did it to yourselves. Accept it and move on. And trade him here.
Next in four down territory.
Second down.
Looking to throw here. And there's the first sack of the season for the Denver defense. Finally, it's Von Miller.
Well, now when it comes to Von Miller, he acknowledges he's heard the Aaron Rodgers rumors. But what do you make of this comment? He said this during his pass rushing summit over the weekend. He said, it's crazy to think about getting an Aaron Rodgers. You put him on any team in the league, he changes that team. But if you get too emotionally involved in those guys and then it doesn't happen, now you got Locke over here looking like, what about now? So you don't want to get too emotionally attached to the rumors. You start thinking, oh, we're going to get Aaron Rodgers or Deshaun Watson. But hold on, wait a minute. We've got Drew Locke. That's who we're running with. That's who we're going into the season with until anything changes. Huh. Does Vaughn have some inside info on who ultimately will start? Why Locke? Why did he?
I just think because
emphasize Locke.
I think he's the incumbent. Maybe because Vaughn believes in the theory of upside. I don't know. I think Drew Locke just came to the forefront of his mind because he's been his teammate for the last 2 years. I don't think you read anything into it. Do you? I think it's just Von Miller talking.
Next on four down territory.
Third down.
Fitzpatrick, third and two, rolling right, and he throws in traffic, intercepted, picked off by Gilmore, who is gone. Right down the middle, 25-20, goodbye, to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
There's Patriots radio. Big head Zolak.
Yeah.
Night, night. Wearing his shades. inside. So, the Patriots have a little bit of controversy. Stephon Gilmore, who's just, I think, a year removed from being the defensive player of the year in the NFL, came up there a little bit. I think he's 31, 32 years old. In the last year of a contract that's only paying him $7 million, a holdout from Pat's mandatory minicamp. What do you think happens there? Do they trade him? Do they work out a new deal? Do they squat on him? What?
Yeah.
You know, the Patriots have this kind of philosophical approach to moving a guy a year early or 2 years early, but as opposed to keeping him a couple of years late and kind of hamstringing themselves. So, it'll be interesting to see what happens there. $7 million is like, even if you go, hey, year by year with Stephon Gilmore and say, hey, man, we're gonna like pick up this year your contract and add a year to it at, you know, and we're gonna average it out at $15 million a year. I think you could probably get close to the same cap value, you know, or the same cap hit, and you just extend it a year or two.
Yeah, he's looking at it like, I got one more big contract, one more,
right,
you know, $40 million guaranteed signing bonus in me.
I can't go year to year right now.
I don't see the Patriots.
No, they won't do that.
No, I don't see them doing that.
That's why he wants to probably get moved to somebody who will.
All right.
But if you're New England, didn't you just during this offseason with an unprecedented wave of free agent spending kind of signal that you're all in to try to win this year? So if you're all in to win this year, don't you want Stephon Gilmore as part of your team?
Oh, of course you do. Of course you do.
I mean, if you're rebuilding, sure.
Wasn't he hurt last year too? Didn't he have some injury issues last year as well and miss some time? So, you know, maybe they look at it like maybe you're not as valuable as you think you are.
By the way, do you think it's Cam Newton's show to run there, or do you think Mac Jones beats him up by the beginning of the season?
I think it's Cam Newton's show to run until Cam Newton can't run it. You know, and
maybe a 5-6 week type.
Right. What we've seen from Cam Newton is, you know, is that style of playing quarterback, it's taken its toll on his body. It's his foot, it's his shoulder, it's his whatever. Last year it was coronavirus, and you saw, you know, a precipitous drop off in production. And like, I have my doubts based upon the way he played his whole career in Carolina, that guy can make it through 17 games and be productive and be efficient.
Next in four down territory.
Fourth down.
That's right. Tom Brady, number 10, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Booyah. That's right, Tom. Put that trophy in everybody's face and say, screw you. Screw you, Chris Sims, for not having me in the top 10 for a while.
You had him 15 last year.
Yeah.
You had him 9 in 2019.
Right.
So Chris Sims is counting down his top 40 quarterbacks in the NFL.
Remember, for it to be a forward pass, it's got to go forward.
Now, that's Phil Sims.
Yeah, it's dad.
That's the great advice that dad passed on to son.
Sorry.
So he hasn't revealed the full top 10 yet, but
you know where our quarterbacks are in there?
Here's the story. He has Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke ranked 32nd and 33rd. Now, that's the bad news. The good news is he has both Bronco quarterbacks ranked ahead of Tua Tagovailoa.
Now remember,
and also ahead of Justin Fields.
There are 32 starting quarterbacks in the NFL. Drew Locke is 33rd.
Correct. Tua is 34th. Again, if you're looking at silver linings, he has Jared Goff at 31. Jared Goff, who carries around one of the biggest contracts in the NFL right now. Here's one I found interesting. He had Jimmy Garoppolo 21 and Ben Roethlisberger 22, but he's got Carson Wentz 18 and Sam Darnold 19.
Interesting.
Interesting.
What does he have? Where is Matthew Stafford on that list yet? Or has he not been revealed?
I am through. What I'm looking at is through 13. So.
And he has not.
No Matthew Stafford.
Okay.
No Matthew Stafford. Okay. That'll do it for Four Down Territory, our tour around the NFL. Bring that to you each and every morning at 7:30. Coming up next, we're going to visit with Patrick Saunders. Hey, for all the grief that Jeff Breidich deservedly receives, did he get this right? Tell you what it is next. Well, now that the Avalanche Nuggets are done, turn a little bit more of our focus to checking in with the Rockies, who, hey, say whatever you will about them on the road, and we'll say nothing. But at home, they've played good baseball.
Yeah.
They've played winning baseball. Add in beautiful nights like last night and an interesting opponent like the Padres, and you can all of a sudden see the appeal of being out at the ballpark to watch the Rockies. And last night, they beat the Padres. Joining us now, Patrick Saunders from the Denver Post, our Rockies insider, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Patrick, good morning.
Morning, Michael. I like how you set that up. Kind of a nice positive way to look at things. That was good.
Yeah, and speaking of positive, Gomber was tremendous. Maybe Jeff Breidich actually knew what he was doing, because Gomber has been great at home in a Rockies uniform.
Oh, guys, he's been awesome pretty much everywhere. But you're right, Stink. Get this, guys. At home, I think five starts at Coors Field. He has an 0.95 ERA. It's been unbelievable. And his last eight starts, you know, we got off to a rough beginning in the Rockies uniform. His last eight starts, I think I have these numbers right, he has struck out 41 and walked four. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty awesome. He has a low one ERA in his last eight starts. But right now, he's the Rockies' best pitcher. Who would have thunk?
Help me with the baseball groupthink that dictates that you have a guy like Gomber who is dealing. Through eight innings, he goes through an eighth inning where everything is 0-1, 0-2. He's got four pitches that are just working masterfully. He's only thrown 95 innings, hasn't given up a run, hasn't walked anybody, three hits, and Bud Black decides, all right, good job. We'll turn it over to Daniel Bard for a edge-of-your-seat save in the ninth. Why? Why, Patrick? Why? What do these guys have against the idea of just sending the guy out for a ninth inning when he's cruising?
You know, I asked Bud that kind of philosophical question, oh, I don't know, maybe a week, 2 weeks ago. And he gave me a litany of reasons. You know, some of them are understandable. You know, he says they look at things like, you know, velocity, and he talks to the pitcher and the catcher has the stuff. And so I get it sometimes, but I think last night he should have stuck with Gomber. Gomber was asked that question last night. He was very diplomatic about it and said, you know, he agreed with Buddy, turning it over to the bullpen and Bard. But, you know, it kind of is weird to me that Buddy Black, who pitched in a different era, in a lot of ways pretty old school, he does this a lot. And I'm with you guys. I think when a guy is dealing like he was last night, way Gomber was, you know, why do that? Now, to Bard's defense, he's been really good lately, again. But I'm with you. I think when a guy is pitching like that and he's only 95 pitches, you know, let him go for the complete game. I mean, that's a feather in a guy's cap. That's a big deal in this day and age. You know, and it's not like the Rockies are, you know, trying to save him for the postseason or anything. I'd say let him deal.
By the way, in 15 years as a big league pitcher, Bud Black had 32 complete games.
Right.
As a pitcher.
Right.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, it is one of those things. You're right. It's something that just rarely happens anymore in today's game. And so it is kind of a big deal. And it is kind of a cool thing. Can we just, as fans, just pay attention to the Rockies when they're at home and actually not watch them on the road? Can we, like, is that the best way to be a Rockies fan this year?
Oh, sure. My guess is that's probably happening. Right.
Right. Yeah. Good point.
You know, people turn on the tube and, oh, what is this? What is the third inning? Listen to the Rockies are doing. Oh, they're down 7-1. Okay. Something else. Time for something else. Yeah. It's remarkable, guys. At home, you know, they're a pretty good team. I mean, they're tough to beat. The offense comes alive. They're pitching better at home than they're on the road. I mean, they're on pace on the road, you know, not to be a dead horse. They're on pace on the road to have the worst road record in MLB history. I mean, that's how bad it's been. But it's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde with these guys. It really is.
Hey, I was reading with interest. You guys did a lot of this on Sunday in the Denver Post, and Major League Baseball is quickly reacting to clamping down on pitchers using foreign sticky substances on baseballs. And you guys had an anonymous former Rockies pitcher who said, you know, the Rockies are as guilty of doing this as anybody. So can you kind of summarize for you know, those of us who've been focused on the Avs and Nuggets lately, what is this big issue surrounding the Rockies and baseball?
Well, in a nutshell, you know, we know that pitchers have always used substances on baseballs, right? Some a lot, like Gaylord Perry, you know, used Vaseline and all sorts of stuff. He ended up in the Hall of Fame. But pitchers, to get a better grip on the baseball, and a lot of hitters will tell you they like the idea that pitchers use something to get a better grip because they feel safer at the plate. And so there's always been the use of, the rosin bag, and then guys started mixing the rosin with sunscreen to get a better grip and a better tackiness. And everybody kind of, even though it's against the rules, so to speak, everybody just kind of said, okay, that's fine. It's just part of the game. It's gamesmanship. By now, not to get too technical, with the emphasis on spin rates and all these things that are being tracked in the modern era of baseball, pitchers have started using all sorts of substances. As one guy told me, you can hear it. It's so sticky on the baseball. He said it's like Velcro. You can hear it coming off the pitcher's hand. So a lot of people think that guys like Gerrit Cole, Trevor Bauer, the best pitchers in the game, as great as they are, getting a really, really big advantage because their spin rates and all of these things are just so enhanced by this sticky substance. So baseball is trying to crack down. And the essence of the Rockies piece was, yes, the Rockies, just like everybody else, from varying degrees, are using this sticky substance. You know, because when I asked my source about it, I said, well, I assume the Rockies are doing it too. He said, of course, the Rockies are no saints in all of this. So it's a league-wide thing. And some people have said it's, 70%, perhaps more, pitchers are using this sticky substance of one form or another to enhance their pitches. So baseball's going to crack down probably this week. Officially, they're going to come out with some sort of procedure, if you will, to get guys to stop doing this. And if they do, hopefully some of the batting averages will go up, some of the strikeouts will go down, and we'll have a little more of a level playing field.
Yeah, it's always interesting, Patrick, when you see a guy throwing just 98-mile-an-hour cheese and it looks like a wiffle ball coming out of his hand, right? You're like, how you getting 9 inches of run on a 98-mile-an-hour fastball looks a little suspect. So good for them, man. Hey, buddy, appreciate you, bud, and enjoy the homestand here. How many more? We got like 7 more games left?
6 more left, yeah.
6 more left? Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah.
All right, Pat. Take care, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Patrick Saunders. We even got a little Patrick Saunders giggle in the middle of that.
I love his giggle.
He's got a very distinctive giggle.
Yes.
He is immediately part of our fan laugh track here.
Oh, yeah, we got all kinds.
Yeah.
Yeah. All kinds of There's.
Oh, my.
That last one is you, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's me. That's right. Patrick Saunders, Rockies Insider, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. We got a question mark coming up here in a couple of minutes. You have a specific question for Mark. Hit us up on the ramoslaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. Put hashtag question mark. You get near the front of the line. Put hash brown, send it to the internet. You go right to the
top of the line.
Top of the line. Top of the line. There you go. JD and Firestone, who are these Rockies you speak of? Are they a sports team? I think it is as simple as this. When they're at home, pay attention to them. They're entertaining. They play entertaining baseball at home. Couple that with interesting opponents coming in throughout the course of the summer. It's not a bad deal. On the road, just find something else to do. They are 21-14 at home. They are 5-27 on the road.
Yeah. You know who's been putting it together since May 1st? I think May 1st, Charlie Blackman,
Chuck Nasty had like a 184 batting average. I think he's up to almost 284, 290, something like that. In a month, he's gone up 100 points. And I think he's got a 13-game hit streak going on right now as well. So, you know, there are some decent stories. Daza's been pretty good. There's some decent stories.
Problem is that you got a little bit of positive momentum, especially when they're at home.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the All-Star game coming up.
Right.
Right? All that. And it's going to take a giant hit when they trade Trevor Story.
Well, they're going to trade. I mean, yeah, they're going to trade several people. I get it. You know,
what I'm saying is that I think, especially when they're at home, there is a sense of, all right, it's not so bad. But then when they trade Trevor,
mm-hmm.
it's just going to be just that, yeah, here's a reminder. This is who they are. This is where they're at. This is how far they have to go. And this is their mindset right now. Trade off these guys.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's just going to be a bit of a, you know, one step forward, two step back type thing.
I get it, but as long as we're not like paying people to take Trevor, right?
Right.
And you get if you can get somebody like a Gomber back in, like Gomber has been fun to watch. He's not overpowering fastball. He's just pitching. And, you know, I mean, that guy is throwing changeups to lefties, lefty on lefty changeups, something you don't normally, like, there was always that you don't throw a changeup, a lefty on lefty changeup because, you know, the change is falling back down into the sweet spot of a left-hander, right? Down and in. That's where a lefty wants the baseball because they can pull it for home runs. But he has got complete and total command of four pitches, throwing his slider, his changeup, his curveball, and his fastball, elevating his fastball, staying on the edges with his fastball. And his other stuff is good. He's got he's got a nice hammer, really good curveball. And, you know, yesterday it was like first guys through the lineup, he was like, you know, he was like, three pitches. He was like fastball, slider, changeup. The first two. And then he gets into the third rotation through and he's mixing in his curveball more consistently. I think he'd only thrown like 7-8 curveballs going into the third time through the lineup. And then he started throwing more curveballs. Like he was pitching his butt off last night.
Yeah.
Which makes it that much more frustrating not to get him a complete game when he's only got 95 pitches.
Yeah. I love our textures. Hey guys, Stephon Gilmore's available. I think we should go after him. We could use a good corner. Guess you can never have enough, right?
No. Hey, you can't. You can't have enough good corners. Like you watched how the game is played today, Mike. Show me a team that's got three, four legitimate corners. Guys that can rotate, guys that can play that nickel position, you know, guys that can come in and play dime. I'll show you a team that's got a chance to shut some passing games down.
This is KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.